Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Chester Theatre Company will open its 24th season with the world premiere of Arms on Fire, a new play with music by Steven Sater and Duncan Sheik, the creators of the Tony and Olivier Award-winning Spring Awakening. The production will run from June 26th to July 7th at the Chester Town Hall in Chester, Massachusetts. I am thrilled to be joined today at the Linda by Steven Sater, and by him, Stevens, director of Arms on Fire and the artistic director of the Chester Theatre Company, Natalie Mendoza, who plays Josefina in the play, musical director and guitarist Joe Belmont, and bassist Reese Williams. Thank you all for being here.
Well, it's great to be back, Sarah. Thanks.
Steven, thank you, Sarah, for having us.
Of course. Steven, I'm hoping that you will begin by telling us a little bit about the story of the play, what the plot is in very sort of general terms.
The story of the play. Well, I think of it as a story about friendship and a story about redemption. And it's about two souls living in exile, as Byam was just saying to me.
In exile from themselves, actually.
Yeah. It's a man who comes to the city to become a someone and a man who fled to the city to become no one. And in a way, in the sort of intersection of sort of the unfulfillment of those desires, they meet and they're able to try and find a way home.
And it's a play also about secrets. Mm-hmm. And both of these men are secret keepers. And the journey of the play, in some way, is how these secrets become unlocked and they find their way back to their true selves. I mean, if these are two people who are in exile from their true selves, the journey of this play takes them back to their true selves. And it's also much funnier and much hipper than we're making it sound right now. You know.
How does the world premiere come to Chester Theatre Company now?
I want to answer that because of my relationship to Byam, which has extended for so many years. You know, as a young writer starting out, writing things that are ambitious and unusual, it's so rare to find someone who can understand what you're doing and create a home for you, which Byam always did in his understanding, even before he ran a theater. So I'm really coming back to work with him again and to honor, you know, the odyssey we've taken together.
But you've been working on the piece with Duncan Sheik since 1999, on and off, obviously,
working on a
lot of other things, too.
Yeah.
What came together for it to work as a fully staged production now?
Oh, well, as you know, Duncan, the first thing I ever worked on with Duncan was a version of this play called Umbrage.
Mm-hmm.
And the first songs we wrote, which became our first album, Phantom Moon, grew out of work on that play. And in 2010, it struck me that we could do something really unusual and new and beautiful and hopefully humane by integrating those songs into the story and letting the songs be the story of memory. To have a kind of, Byam was talking about how unusual this is as a piece of musical theater, and it is, because the songs, while they don't forward the plot, they deepen and enrich the story. They forward the story. They're about memory. About the siren call of memory. What is the cost to Ulysses of shutting his ears against the sirens? What does that mean? What has he lost? What does he yearn for? Music in this play functions sort of as memory and the pull of memory and desire.
In a lot of musicals, you have a book, which is actually a vehicle, a holding vehicle for 20-odd songs. This doesn't function that way. It is a play. And the music in the play isn't the emotional text, it's the emotional subtext. So it operates in a totally new and unusual way that we are interested in terms of, as this form moves forward, doing a kind of non-traditional treatment of music in theater. At the same time, I think the audience is going to find it strangely familiar because it actually has a sort of filmic sense, that the music that we're bringing in, the songs, provide the emotional subtext of what, you know, that runs counter or adds dimension and depth to what the actors are saying kind of frontally to each other. There's this, the music acts as what's hunting underneath.
Mm-hmm. And in working on a world premiere, you're working closely, obviously, with Steven and Duncan. Pardon my familiarity, Steven Sater and Duncan Sheik. What do you like about working on a premiere with the creatives right behind it?
Well, I mean, this is part of what our theater company does. We've done, in the last 24 years, I've kind of lost count, but it's in the 20, we've done 20-odd world premieres. the excitement of walking in a field where nobody else has put a footprint is really a lot of fun. And if you're with the, and you have the playwright in the room with you. So as you're exploring things, you know, you have to find the balance, of course, between this moment doesn't seem to be working. Is it me as the director? Am I not getting something out of this moment? Or do we need a little more support textually? So can you write me three lines here that get this idea across? And that's still very much, we've been writing all through this last 2 weeks. We were writing this morning as, you know, before we came here. I mean, it's just, you keep making it better. And it's fun.
We have with us the musical director, Joe Belmont, as well as performer Natalie Mendoza, actress and singer, and the bassist, Reese Williams. We're going to hear a couple of songs. I'd like to have the first one happen now. What is the first song we're going to hear?
Should I set this up?
Yes,
this
please.
This song is called Longing Town. Can I tell a brief story?
Yes.
You know, Duncan and I, we were making this record, Phantom Moon. This is in 2000. And all the songs were written. It was done. And every song Duncan and I had written the lyrics first, and he set them verbatim. And I went to his house. It was his apartment in the city. It was actually a friend's apartment where he was staying in Chinatown. I remember the view. And he said, you know, I have this kind of thing. And he started playing his guitar. And it was just this beautiful. And I said, Duncan, this is so beautiful. Will you record this for me? And he said, I can't record that. And I said, you know, would you just make a really quick something that I could have of this? And he did. And I took it home. And I wrote these words, Longing Town. And it's the song that opens our show. It sort of sets the mood for the whole world in which these two men are able to meet.
Oh, so cold. Evening gray consumed in dark. No more day to hold me. The sounds won't stay to play their part. Only what strangers told me. Why is the ghost who listens so cold and alone? Wind tell him lightly. All that we might be. While I sit nightly, watching the shadows drifting down, and twilight descends so blue, so brown. Longing begins in this longing time. When the haze falls through my heart, when its arms enfold me, oh, my song won't go that far. I can't sing how lonely. Home is a note of distance, a word forgone. Wind tell him lightly. All that we might be. While I sit nightly, watching the shadows drifting down, twilight descends so blue, so brown. Longing begins in this longing town.
Arms on Fire will run at the Chester Theater Company from June 26th through July 7th. That was beautiful.
Thank you, guys. Aren't they amazing?
Really, really wonderful.
Beautiful.
But, you know, Steve was talking about this being a story of friendship. And, you know, I think you get the sense in this, which is very early in the play, of the loneliness. And that longing is on some side, somehow the flip side of loneliness. So, again, as I was saying, the emotional undercurrent, the subtext is these two really lonely men. And you're hearing this music about longing.
You mentioned when we were speaking before the song that it's a play with music, not a musical. I imagine then that you need people who are actors first before they're singers, or equally talented as actors as singers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the first time I've done a play. That's not true. Second time I've done a play with music. And both times I was working with singers who were actors first. Natalie is obviously a very accomplished singer, but she, when I picked her up at the airport, we had this long ride back to Westfield, you know, from the airport at Hartford, and we were talking about this, and she said, I consider myself an actress first, and it's been really freeing for me as a director because I don't have to talk technically. I can, you know, say, Natalie, this is what I need the song to do. And she takes the adjustment as an actor and then somehow filters it through her musical sensibility and it comes out. It's very freeing for me.
Would you mind telling us about the other two cast members?
Sure. James Barry did Dr. Faustus for us 2 years ago in our production of Wittenberg, and that was a very acclaimed performance in which he also sang three or four songs, accompanying himself on various medieval instruments. James has just gotten off 6 months of the national tour playing Carl Perkins in Million Dollar Quartet.
I saw that in Schenectady. He's good.
Yeah, he's good. He brings the freight.
You needed me to tell you. You didn't. Right. I know. Well, I'm just joking.
He brings the freight, really. I mean, his energy and commitment are just so wonderful to work with. He's a joy to be in the rehearsal room with. So I've worked with him before. Ulysses is played by Giuseppe Jones, who is new to us. He's actually an actor who has a very long list of classical credits in Shakespeare companies around the country. He's played Othello. He's played just a lot of classical roles. And in fact, you know, he's playing a king. He's playing Ulysses. Now, it's set in a modern setting in Hell's Kitchen in New York. But when you see the play, you'll understand why we're looking for somebody who has a kingly presence. Because in a way, it's about, in tapping into some of the mythic stuff, this is about a man who left his country, Honduras, and is living in exile, separated from the memory of the woman he loves, his Penelope. And he gives this wonderful kind of gravitas that he brings with him. And though he's not a singer, he is an actor who sings, mm-hmm. not a singer who acts.
Stephen, you mentioned that in workshops before the play was entitled Umbridge.
Yeah.
How does the title change happen? What goes into making that decision?
Well, you know, a lot of things go into that. And I wanted to say that it's not just I think there's not quite a name yet for what this is. It's
okay.
Somewhere between a musical and it's a piece of music theater. Mm-hmm. Why don't we say that?
Okay.
Because it's not just a play with songs in the way that a play by Brecht has a few songs in it, or a play by Shakespeare. It's
right.
doing something new mm-hmm. with the form, which I think is exciting. And I think in everything Duncan and I have done, we've tried to push the boundaries. So I think with the title of the play, I think always meant a great deal more to me than it might have to other people who didn't know necessarily what Umbridge was or meant.
Okay.
And so the issue has been on the table for a long time about the title of the play. And I thought of calling it Mouth on Fire for a while, which was a song in the play and also on the album. And I thought of calling it So Good to Meet You, Mr. Chess, from another song. And Byam said, you know, what about this? There's a moment in this, there's a Buddhist parable about someone who lights his arms on fire to seek enlightenment. And Byam said, what about this phrase, arms on fire? And it made me think of Icarus, you know, who wants to fly, but mm-hmm. his wings melt, you know, the wax melts. And
yeah.
I thought, well, this is really evocative. This is a really evocative image for a woman that you might have loved, which is at the heart of the play, yeah.
And I think part of it, too, is in the story, you have the Smith character is caught between two poles. I mean, in a very, I think, American and universal way. On some level, he is desperately seeking a type of success that is, you know, outward, palpable, fame, money, success. I mean, you know, every other show you see on television now is about somebody who, you know, people want to make it as singers or dancers or whatever through a contest, you know. And the other is a very spiritual side, you know, that he on some level really seeks peace and understanding. And I think a lot of people vibrate between those two poles of I want success. It's part of our, Puritan work ethic, got to make something of yourself thing. It's that American dream mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And then also trying to square that with some kind of inner peace. And so the Arms on Fire very much, for me, is attached to the first part, wanting, that fame and fortune and success is the scramble with your arms on fire.
Stephen, you mentioned mm-hmm. that you started working on this a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Spring Awakening has happened.
Yes.
You and Duncan have other projects, too.
Yes, we do.
How do you figure out what you're going to work on when?
Well, there's a lot on my plate.
Yeah.
There are a lot of projects. And I think some of it has to do with, Hamlet comes to this place of letting be. You kind of allow things to be. Byam called me and said, we want to do work with you this summer. I want to do one of your plays. And Byam had worked on this play years before, and Duncan and I were looking for a place to do this. And this, I wouldn't think of bringing one of our big new musicals here. I thought it seemed like a perfect, time. And so I think some things sort themselves out, mm-hmm. what I mean? You have projects and they get delayed, you have schedules. This seemed to work out beautifully for this play that we've wanted to premiere for so long, and to come back and be able to work on it with Byam was such a treasure.
The first play that I ever produced as the artistic director of Chester Theater Company 16 years ago was one of Stephen's plays. So we have a history of working together over the years, and it's great to kind of revisit this artistic friendship. Mm-hmm. It's deep and fulfilling.
Wonderful.
It is for us.
That's perfect. We are going to hear another song. What is the next song?
This is called "This Is How My Heart Heard." In the Buddhist parables, they often bring in, this is what I heard. This is what I heard. It's because the Buddhist teaching, like Jesus' teaching, like Socrates, nothing was written down. It's like a different kind of oral tradition, mm-hmm. like the oral tradition of poetry. There's an oral tradition of philosophy. And there's a moment in this show when the secrets are revealed, the truth is told. And this woman sort of steps forward into the woman from the past, in a way, emerges into the present in some way. And so this is what her heart heard.
This is how my heart heard. That little thing in tears, they call the truth. It said, be done with him, he's done with you. This is how my heart heard. This is how my arms burn, that used to hold him tight. Until the dawn, and now they weep to find that he is gone. This is how my heart hurt. I forgot the taste of fears and how they haunt the lips you're kissing, and how the soul can waste its tears on someone who is missing, and how I shed such tears but never cry. Is this how you want her? And how you kiss her lips and taste goodbye. Is this how you want her? I forgot the upon the lips you're kissing, and how love's just a waste of tears on someone who is missing. This is how I want you, and how I shed such tears but never cry, and how I tasted lips that kissed goodbye. This is how my heart hurt. This is how my heart hurt.
We have with us today musical director and guitarist Joe Belmont and bassist Reese Williams playing along with Natalie Mendoza. Is the orchestration, is the band for the actual show more or the same as this?
There's more. There's also keyboards and percussion. So
I don't know if you need it.
I'm sure.
I trust you. I'm sorry for being flip.
I was thinking you would never guess listening to this that the show is a comedy, but it sort of is.
There is a lot of comedy in the show, really.
I have to tell you.
The character of Smith is a unique theatrical creation, I think I can say. I've been reading plays for 40 years, and I've never come across a character like this. He's lively, and he's funny, and he's has this sort of improvisational kind of wit that's unusual and fun.
The Chester Theatre Company's world premiere of Arms on Fire opens on June 26th and runs through July 7th. For tickets and showtime information, visit chestertheatre.org, that's theatre.org, chestertheatre.org, or call 413-354-7771. Steven Sater, Byam Stevens, Natalie Mendoza, Joe Belmont, Reese Williams, thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you. This was great, really.
It was an absolute
terrific
pleasure.
Fun.
Thanks, Sarah.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.